evening as you're joining us on the 14th of June. This, of course, being one of my favorite weeks of the year. If you follow this show over the last 3 or so years, you know that, you know, we're all about new music. And as always, every year, North by Northeast is one of our favorite places to be for the best new emerging music coming out of everywhere, really, but a lot of it centered right here in Canada. The festival has now been running for over 30 years. It turned 31 this year. And it's just every year we go in and we discover some of the best new music. The festival's been expanding a little bit as well. So this year, the Polaris Long List launched at North by Northeast, and the band that you can hear playing underneath me this week, as you do here at on a lot of weeks, Angine de Poitrine, were one of the long-listed artists, one of the 40 artists long-listed for the Polaris Prize 2026. And a lot of other really cool things on the bigger scale was happening. You know, they had Billboard performances or Billboard sponsored performances for some of the artists that have come up from these little scenes and are on their way to becoming the biggest stars. And there were all sorts of panels, showcases, spotlights on other sides of the industry as well, such as A&R and managing and all of that kind of stuff. So it's a really great place to be if you are an emerging artist in music, and it's a great place for people like us, people working in radio, in media, in press to be, because we get to discover all the best new artists, as do fans. And so, as we do every year, we're gonna jump straight into music that was at North by Northeast, and we're gonna play you a lot of the artists that I saw. A lot of them that, I mean, most of these were not really planned, but you know, you go, you see an artist, you become curious about what their music is like, and so we caught up with a lot of them just after their shows to do little interviews, some even at 1:30 in the morning, as you will hear when we talk to Neon Bloom. And I'm going to play us some of the artists that we heard, including artists like Angelique Dansel, who we're going to start off this week's show with, who has a really cool jazzy R&B vibe, is a local artist as well, and reminds me a little bit of artists like Olivia Dean, and so I really enjoyed that. And then we're going to hear a few interviews. So in order, if you can remember this, if you can't remember it, there will also be, I'll post about it on Instagram, which you can find us on at Yellow Brick Road, that's the handle. And as always, I will also post a sort of podcasted version of the show where you can catch up on all the interviews and find sort of links to follow up with all these artists and keep them in your playlists and libraries and stuff forever. But if you can remember all of that, we're going to be talking to a band called Black Paint, a more kind of rock and roll band. And then we'll also play some music from an Australian band that came all the way over for North By called Teenage Jones. We're going to play a song of theirs called Coming Up From Hell. Then you're going to hear an interview with an incredible band called The Satisfactory from out in Montreal, who make, I'm saying this a lot, rock and roll sound, but there's more kind of mod inspired, 60s inspired, and we talked all about that. We'll listen to a song of theirs called Faulty Leather, and then a band that I was telling you about last week, a sort of collective called the Mango Street Trio. We're going to listen to one of their funky songs called Fraggle's Loft. After that, we'll be joined by the incredible Neon Bloom, who I was telling you about, who we spoke to after their set, which started at midnight. And this interview was probably the latest one I've ever done. Started at 1:30 in the morning. And it was very nice of them to take the time at that hour to join me. And we were talking about kind of, you know, their music sounding or reminding me a little bit, taking me a little bit of inspiration from the Zeros, and how their front woman, Jen, has this real, like, care no energy to her performance, and there's that edge of danger that a lot of people talked about when they would talk about those early Yeah Yeah Yeahs performances. And so I've picked a song that kind of reminds me of that. It's called One Last Time. And then to end the show with something a little bit different, we're going to be stepping out of North by Northeast for a quick minute, and we'll be talking to the incredible band The Bug Club, who I saw opening for Super Furry Animals when I was over in the UK. They're coming on a solo tour of their own. They'll be here next week. They're playing in Montreal on the 17th. in Toronto on the 18th of June. And you should absolutely go see them, because everyone who has ever seen them comes back saying they're one of the most incredible bands you've ever seen. So I hope you enjoy our North by Northeast coverage. It's always some of my favorite times of the year. And we're going to start off with a bit of Angelique Dansel. This is Supermodel Figures on CFRC Radio. Enjoy.
Baby, I'm locked in my mind, thinking about all the crime that's been mine. I've been moving backwards. It's getting kind of cold in this space, with no room for me to behave. I'm still moving backwards. And 'cause they're pretty, pretty faces and pretty, pretty places I cannot afford. Making risky, risky mistakes we just ignore. Supermodel figures and all their supermodel features. Supermodel figures. I'm not like them, I'm not like her, I'm not like anyone else in the world.
Supermarket as part of North by Northeast. I'm Rue. I'm joined by all of Blackpaint. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Hola.
So lovely to meet you guys. Let's do a quick round of introductions so our listeners know who we're talking to.
Hello, I'm Stephen Lazell. I play the guitar.
I'm Tyler Smith. I play the bass.
We're getting there.
And I'm Eric Croteau, and I play the boom booms.
Boom, 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 boom.
I have seen you guys before. I realized this a little while ago, and it was at Rickfest that happened in like Liberty Village. And I feel like I saw a completely different show today. Like there were the riffs and everything last time, and it was a really fun show. But I feel like you guys had the space today to just let loose.
I'm glad you said that. Yes, we absolutely agree. Every show should be different, and we try to make that the case. Mm-hmm. No set list, and any improv that any one of us brings to the table in the moment, we try to follow through and make it a new experience, because we only have so many people that come out to see us over and over again, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure they get a different show as well, so they don't get bored.
I noticed that you had a little improv section in there as well, where the whole band just starts jamming. Is that like a planned part of the show?
Not at all. Every show has improv, and it's never planned at all. We don't speak about it. That's the nice thing about, we've played together for so long that if someone starts something, we kind of know what the vibe's going to be. And we rely a lot on blues music, which follows the same formula, 1-4-5, for the folks at home. And if the riff starts, then it's going to be a blues, and then we know where to go from there. Yeah.
I feel like there's also a kind of a level of trust in the band that you start up, you know that everyone else in the band can just pick it up, like beyond just the 1-4-5. Like, things have to gel as well. It has to sound good. And I feel like you guys are able to do that.
Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't work, but that's the fun of it. It's nice to kind of be on your toes, hope for the best. And like, we've jammed for so long together that we kind of have this odd ability to read each other without like talking.
I just saw an Instagram reel today that said the reason why rock music seems so boring and dead now is because every problem one by one has been solved. Eric saw it as well. You saw it too?
Yes.
Yeah, they say, okay.
We have the same algorithm.
Yes. Well, let's say you go to a rock show 30 years ago and you don't exactly know what's going to happen. And that's part of the magic. It could be a train wreck. It could be the most magical thing on earth. But as you slowly get rid of the potential problems, guitars perfectly in tune all the time with a Floyd Rose, let's say, backing tracks and drum machines and predetermined harmonies. I'm quoting the video. I'm not this smart. That you lose the magic.
They even have like a verse, click, 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 and then people know to go to the verse and the on-ear monitors. Like, what?
Exactly. In-ear monitors that tell you when the chorus is coming up. 1, 2, 3, chorus!
What is the Blackpaint way of doing things?
The Blackpaint way of doing things is writing songs and sticking to a structure, and anything that happens within that structure is up to the moment itself. Mostly all our songs. We know, okay, if I'm singing a verse, then that's the verse section. But if I go, then maybe we're about to drop into something a little heavier. And these guys are so locked in and really amazing at following the slightest sonic cues that it makes it seem prepared, even though it's very much off the cuff. Yeah.
What I'm getting is a lot of really good band chemistry as well. So how did the band start and how long have you guys been going?
So, long story short, basically, we started in high school. Steven and Tyler are the same age, so they've known each other since, like, JK. I met them in high school. I'm 2 years younger, so I met them when they were in their last year of high school. I was in grade 10. And, yeah, I think our music teacher recommended me as a drummer, and then you guys came to me and were like, hey, we need a drummer. I think that's basically how it went.
Pretty much.
And then, yeah, from
long
there... Yeah, long story long. Sorry, my bad, I'm yapping. But yeah, we've just known each other ever since.
And why blues rock and roll? Like, especially a few years ago, it's not necessarily the most obvious choice of music for people to go into, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it mainly has to do with just, it's just music we very like much connect to. I think our biggest influence is Jack White and the White Stripes.
I hear that.
And also Led Zeppelin, we're massive, massive fans of, so...
And blues in general is like the foundation of a lot, like pretty much every genre can have some type of resemblance down to the blues roots. And yeah, it's just classic and it will never go out of style. It's true emotion.
Yeah. And it's, sorry, you want to say something, Steven?
No, go ahead.
I just want to add that like blues music also, it feels like a lot of bands these days aren't really doing, that type of music. So, you know, we want to stand out from everyone else.
I said it's in our blood.
Yeah, it's in our blood.
Not only that, the lack of blues music or blues touches or flavors is what has killed rock and roll. People talk about what killed rock and roll. Oh, it could be pop music. Oh, it could be hip hop. No, it's the fact that blues music is relying more on, rock music is relying more on moodiness, or I don't even know. I can't even explain it. But the second blues music stopped being incorporated into rock music, that's when shit started to fall apart.
And you need the blues to like bring that moodiness into the music to make it feel something.
Exactly. And it might be the case that the way we connect to music and play it live is so rooted in spontaneity, simplicity, and raw power that blues might have just been the quickest avenue to get that point across.
Mm-hmm. Although I also see a lot of funkiness in your music.
That's strictly fans of James Brown.
Mm-hmm. So again, like funk via blues.
Yeah,
so
it just hits you hard. You want to dance, you want to do whatever, you just want to feel good.
Mm-hmm. But you do have new music coming out soon.
New music, Crash Landing, our brand new single, is coming out July 3rd, and then our album is coming out sometime in August. Stay tuned to hear about that.
That's a big step to like go into it with your debut album, because that's kind of the statement piece.
Exactly, and we've actually taken a very long time to make a debut album. We've been around for quite a while, and we've actually taken a few shots at what we thought would be our debut album. I'm really glad we waited and held off, because this is a perfect time capsule of the last 5 years for us, this album.
Does now feel like the right time for it?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a bit about the album. Like, do you have a name for it yet? What's kind of the vibe of the album?
The album tried to capture our live sound as much as possible, while also trying to be as diverse as you can in the studio, I guess. We recorded it live off the floor, all of us in one room playing at once. And that's another thing you don't see about very often in rock music today, is it's very easy for a band to go in and record one instrument at a time, get all the drums perfect, lay the bass down, get everything perfect. You lose a ton of soul and energy in that. And it speaks to the thing I was talking about that Instagram, is you take away the problems or the hardships of creating music, rock music in general, and you lose that fight, that energy that comes with that.
The live feeling.
There's mess-ups on the album. It adds to the soul of it.
You know, I feel especially in the world of AI, just to add to that, like, I feel it's very important to, like, make it as raw as possible. And as you said, a debut album is like a statement piece, basically.
Yeah.
And this is our statement saying, you know, we want it to be as raw as possible and
as
no click tracks.
As possible.
Live off the floor. So, yeah.
It's authentic, yeah.
Yeah, and people are connecting with it. Like, we saw a couple of your fans come by and walk in. They'd never seen you before, but they've left as big fans. Like, something connects with the audience, too.
Well, I think sometimes you feel like you have to tell the audience what you're about to do. Okay, we're about to make this up on the spot. Or, okay, like, here comes a moment that has never been rehearsed, is completely improvised. But I do think they're able to sense that.
When we're playing, sometimes it feels like it's about to fall apart any second. We hope that translates. And even some of the songs we've played at the studio, or, like, recorded in the studio, have never been the same live. Because, yeah, it's good to change it up.
A lot of us young rockers have the same idols, the same inspirations. It just takes a specific type of person to actually put yourself in the positions that made those people so great. If you watch Jimi Hendrix live, if you watch Led Zeppelin live, there's so much improv, there's so much spinning plates they're juggling, that's what makes it special. And I think a lot of young rockers see that and just think, okay, we'll make bluesy rock songs and that's cool. No, you actually have to put yourself in the position where you could fail miserably and it could be the most humiliating thing. That's the only thing that's going to make you stand out or actually get to that level of potentially transcendent. Like, this is a magical feeling. Yeah, you can't really rehearse that. Yeah, we said White Stripes are our favorite band. They absolutely are. If you watch a White Stripes show, there's points, I hope Jack doesn't hear this and doesn't get mad at me. There's an anxiety to watching them where at any moment, this could fall off the rails completely. And they pull it off. And that's what makes it exciting. So you just have to have trust in yourself that it's going to be okay. And we've had plenty of completely, excruciatingly embarrassing moments. Monday, Tyler fell on his ass in front of everyone. Everyone pointed and laughed.
Everything fell.
Everything fell. He knocked it all over. Yeah, you just got to be willing to fail. And I think that comes with playing a lot of shows. If you trap yourself in your basement, you can make the most perfect album ever, but it might not translate live. You just got to get out there and do it over and over again.
Yeah, you got to have that dangerous edge as well.
Yep.
Yeah. And what's coming up next for you guys? Like shows, all that kind of stuff, apart from the album, anything around the release and anything that we should be aware of?
Yeah, we're playing Gussapalooza, which is a festival in, what is it, Gusville?
Cookstown.
Cookstown. Dustville. Well, yeah, we've had a busy week. We've had three shows in the last few days. I think we have a little bit of time off, but we cannot stress enough the importance of July 3rd, Crash Landing, our brand new single. That is probably our most crowd-pleasing piece of material we have. So if that fails, we fail. Keep that in mind, folks. Give it a listen.
Crash Landing, 3rd July. We're looking out for the album in August. Black Faint, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. You rock, Lou.
I guess it's how I was told how to take it easy and let it go. I guess my head was spun too tight. Never picked it over, didn't start a fight. Right on. That's how you get away. Another thing that I didn't say. Another wrong I didn't realize. Never picked it over, didn't start a fight.
Northeast just after the Satisfactory's incredible show. Hello guys, the whole band is joining me out here. Introduce yourselves for our listeners.
My name's Salvador and I'm the singer.
I'm Conlin, I'm the guitar player.
I'm Vaughn, I play drums.
I'm Adam, I play bass.
And we found out, Adam, you'd literally just joined the band and yes. This was your first show with them.
Yes, my first of two shows. And it's thrilling. I love this music so much.
He's getting fired after next Friday. Yeah, we've already decided.
And, my contract ends next Friday.
But I feel like you guys have a sort of spontaneity to you guys. Like, I wouldn't have been able to tell you've just joined. The whole band really clicked. Is that generally how you guys roll?
Oh, absolutely. Because, I've got a bit of a roster of people in Montreal that can sub in whenever I need a bass player, a guitar player. And these guys are talented, so it makes it really easy.
You've got the Satisfactory factory.
It's exactly what we have a bit of a factory.
That's so true.
How did I not think of that, guys?
Okay, so you've just released your debut album.
Yeah.
Literally this month. the Satisfactory. Tell me about it, because like from what I saw on stage, we're getting real rock and roll vibes, and it's going across the ages. Like, I'm hearing a little bit of like 60s rock and roll. You've got the mod haircut as well. Mm-hmm. But then we were talking about your set, like as we were watching it, we're getting a little bit of like Police as well, a bit of the Strokes as well.
Police, I've never heard that before.
Corn Spell.
It's a Corn Spell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A bit of Roxanne. Yeah, yeah. So what's going on the album musically?
It's exactly that. I would call it a love letter to all good rock music. You know, not that new crap like that Gene Gallagher album, but like actually the good stuff that's been put out in the last 50, 60 years. That's what I'd say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just, yeah, all the great bands, we take a lot of influence from them and we wear it on our sleeve, which I think is nice, you know?
Yeah. I feel like from the time I saw you like open with your first song, yeah, and there's like, what's it called again?
I'm Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Bit of a Beatles thing going on there.
Yeah,
surely.
A little bit. They had to beat around the bush, you know, a different time, but I'm okay with just saying it.
Yeah, you can say that today.
Yeah, exactly. No one knows. Yeah. Sure, yeah.
But also the energy that you guys bring together is so good. Like, I saw Sal, you're kind of like screaming your lungs out over there. I got a little bit of Liam Gallagher from that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great vocalist. His son, I don't know, but he's really good singer. And I think I've definitely taken a lot of influence from him. John Lennon, too, like those kind of like Plastic Ono Band type things where he's really screaming. I love that kind of stuff.
Funny, because when I asked Sal and Vaughn what the dress code for the show would be, they said Liam Gallagher.
Okay. So
Not Gene.
A show like tonight, you're kind of playing to people who've never seen you before, and they're kind of just standing there being like, well, who are these guys? Yeah. What are they supposed to take away from the show?
We make you dance, really. That's our thing, I feel like, is we make you dance and have a good time. That's really all it is, I feel like, you know?
Yeah.
We're just a fun band.
Bring back the twist.
Bring back the twist. That's exactly it. Yeah.
I saw a couple twists being done.
Oh, people twist.
People were twisting.
Yeah, yeah. People twist. People go into the show being like, I'm not going to twist. And by the end of it, they twist.
They're converts to the twist.
Yeah. Disciples, some say.
Yeah, of course. Well, you are Jesus.
Yeah, there you go.
No, you guys really won over the crowd. And I feel like that kind of builds throughout the show. Like, how do you pace it out? Because, like, you start off and it's not like, okay, from the very first song, we're going to, like, crowd kill or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, you slowly build it up, and I was convinced by the end of it.
Well, usually it goes fast, fast, medium, fast, medium, fast, 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 slow, slow, medium, fast. It works every time, I guess. It's really, I haven't found a better formula. When I do, I'll let you know.
Okay. And what's coming up next for you guys?
Well, we're going to do a bit of a compilation record in the fall, and then we're going to go on a tour, Canadian tour in the fall. We're gonna re-record our early singles that are on Spotify because they're not really recorded that well, if I'm being honest, you know. So we're gonna do it with a new band and make it sound even better, and then work on our second album. If anyone's out there that has a lot of money and likes our music, we need money, so that'd be greatly appreciated. And yeah, just keep touring, keep releasing songs, keep writing songs until eventually we overtake Gene Gallagher and his crappy band.
We'll be in Kingston.
Yeah. We will be in Kingston October something. Three sets at the Toucan.
We'll be in Ottawa.
Yeah.
We'll be in Ottawa at the Rainbow Cafe next Friday, the 19th.
Yes, we will.
Mm-hmm. Some really good shows coming up. And tell me a little bit before we go about recording that first album. Because, like, it's always that, like you said, you have to record some of your older stuff. This was like you guys getting into the studio proper for the first time.
It's a learning experience.
It is.
You know? You learn a lot when you're there. I mean, I would have liked to record it in about 2 weeks because I think we're a great live band. It would have been good to just, like, hammer it out. But just because of circumstances, we couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, you learn from the first album, and the second one's going to be even better. So.
And I'm guessing, with the way you guys work, more live off-the-floor stuff?
Yeah, we don't record to a click or anything like that. We just go live. Because, you know, Vaughn's a human click over here, so it works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Soft-spoken. Sounds like a true human click.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that is amazing. Is there anything you can tell us about the second album if you started, like, writing those songs or demoing them or any such thing?
It's a little different, but it makes sense.
Different in what way?
It's surprisingly, it's even more dancey, I'd say. We're leaning a bit more into the dance rock thing, which
the twist is coming back.
I don't know. I feel like it's more of like an arm thing.
No, it's
now,
like,
you know what
it's
I mean?
Like
the peppermill.
The peppermill.
The scuba. These great moves are
classics.
Coming back.
By the time we retire, I think we'll have one album for each dance move, and that's really our goal.
That's a good timeline to have.
Yeah.
So you're looking at the next like 60 years off the Satisfactory coming up.
Yeah. Just wait till we get to the Harlem Shake. It's gonna, change the world of music.
It will. And pick one song from the album for us to go out with. What's your favorite song on the album? We'll go out with that song.
Okay, Faulty Leather, I'd say. It's my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Satisfactory.
What do you guys think? What's your favorite?
I was going to say Mary McCuller is my favorite. I think it grooves the hardest. But Faulty Leather is like my second favorite, so... Very
and
close.
You know, because you had to learn them and all in one day.
Yeah, because last week I was just like nonstop listening to these. So you can trust me over Sal.
Okay. Well, final words. I think Megabus should sponsor you guys. Woo, the Satisfactory. Yeah. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Megabus. Gene Gallagher, we're coming for you. Listen to the Satisfactory. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm
Okay, we're here. This is probably the latest interview I've ever done. Probably the latest interview you guys
latest
have ever done.
Latest at night.
Yeah. We're here at 1 in the morning, and very nicely, Neon Bloom have agreed to join me on this interview. Hello, guys. How's the feeling like post-show and everything?
Oh, it feels great. It was a really fun night. Great turnout, great crowd. We had a really good time.
We haven't played in a while, so we've had a last huge show in August at the Monarch, which was a blast, released an album. So it feels good to get back and playing live and having people screaming and being like, oh yeah, this is live music. We need to play more. So it's great.
I would never have been able to tell that you haven't played a show in like over 6 months. It looked very, very tight and put together. Listeners, though, can you all introduce yourselves?
My name's Jen. I'm the singer.
I'm Simon. I play keyboard and guitar.
I'm Chris, the drummer.
And I'm Fred, and I jump around a lot. And I play bass as well.
And together you guys are Neon Bloom. Yeah. And we just saw you play at Trinity as part of North by Northeast. And that was one of the most electrifying sets I've ever seen. And for a show that started at midnight, you guys had so much energy. Like, were you worried at any point that, like, there might be fewer people? Like, that doesn't affect your show, does it?
No. I mean, we've played busy shows, pretty empty shows, five people there. We put the same into it no matter what, and just try to give whoever showed up a good show and have a great time with it. So.
Yeah, and like I feel like you guys have a real like tight set going on. There's so much stage presence when you guys get up there, and it fits together as a unit. Like there's sometimes when I wasn't even sure where to look because like all of you have so much like really interesting stuff going on stage. You've got like the occasional synthesizer and keys going on. You've got these really indie rock like 2000s riffs. So where are all these influences coming from?
Yeah, 2000s rock, 90s rock. You kind of nailed it. I think that's pretty big for all of us in general. But we just try to put on a high energy show, right? I think it's like if you want people to be excited, you have to be like more excited. You have to bring something more to the table, right? So that's what we always try to do, and it's more fun for us too. Honestly, I think we have a lot of fun with it. So
yeah, you lead the crowd basically.
You try to as much as possible. Like it was easy tonight. It was just like a good crowd, right? It's like early summer. The vibes are good. It's like midnight. I don't know, right? It's been a long day. I think for a lot of people, he was at the soccer game today, afternoon. Yeah.
Did you tell anybody to come over to your show from there?
Yes. Yeah. Always hustling for the band.
Of course. Did many people do that?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, this venue as well, like, I came by when there was another band playing, and it was kind of odd to see you've got a band on one side, and then just behind them, they've got the full, like, I think at the time it was the Jays game, but I'm sure when the soccer was going on, they had it on, too.
Yeah, we were, some earlier bands I did see were competing with games on the TVs. I don't know if it was still on while we were playing. I kind of zoned that out, but, I mean, that's all the more reason why you got to put on a good show, because there's a lot of distractions in this world and competition in these festivals. So you just got to put the biggest show on you can. And that's it.
Yeah.
And I think there was highlights. I think it was soccer highlights on. And there was more. We finished a song and there was like a cut of the crowds.
That was for you.
I saw on the TV for a second. And like, I was like they're cheering for us.
Let me get that in the microphone.
Those that are listening, fans are coming off the street just so if you want some context. So
you're being mobbed by fans right
now. This is the 1 a.m. after crowd. You know, we love them. Yeah.
And even on stage, like I feel like there's almost this edge of danger to your music, where it's like it could fall apart at any second. You were kind of like falling all over the drum kit, Fred, as well.
Yes, that's indicative of our lives, because we're channeling all that our lives are chaotic, so that comes through in our music, but we're having a good old time, and they were rental drums, so I got the green light that I can jump into them like an animal.
But how do you on the drums deal with that?
I deal with it. That's literally what it is. I just wait for it to happen, and then I just fix it after. I'm used to it now. Yeah. Oh, there goes my ride cymbal. Oh, I've lost a tom. Okay, well, I figure it out for the last song. Actually, I think I realized that you hit it so hard, I had to go in and refix like two or three of the microphones. But I'm used to this now. I remember the first time that ever happened, I was so pissed off at Fred. I was like, that was like years ago now, almost a decade. And now it's a thing. It's awesome. Everyone loves it. It's great.
And I realized a little while ago that I'd actually played one of your songs from 2023 on air. So I realized that I've actually seen this go from being like a punky thing to this like indie rock set. And you said you've been playing for almost 10 years now. Yeah, it's like 8 years since the first EPs, right? So it's been coming together really nicely, and the sounds really evolved since then. And you reached the point of your debut album last year, Begin Here, that came out. Tell me a little bit about the album.
So the album, it was a long time in the making, and we labored over whether to make it two EPs, put out some singles, and we just went full album.
It was the right
thing. We wanted to do,
One of our producers is right behind us right now.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Sanzo is right behind us. He's one of our producers of the album. We worked with a couple producers, but yeah, it was a bit of a journey, and we just had to piece it together. But we were so immensely satisfied to bring it out to the world and people and well received. And we hope the people, all the folks in Kingston, are gonna love these tracks as we share it on the radio there.
Absolutely, and like I'm. Like we were saying, I'm getting touches of like yes, of almost like even like a poppier touch with Cardigans, a bit of Blondie. There's so much really cool stuff going on there. And like, do you like decide which direction a song's gonna go, or how do you put it all together?
I think they just sort of happen organically. We kind of know where to slot it. Either it's like garage rock, or it's more of like a sparkly 80s vibe, like Blondie-esque, new wave type of thing. So, yeah, we kind of gravitate towards those two styles.
Yeah.
We have done some more experimental stuff during the start of the COVID lockdown. We did put out an EP that was very different. We don't do those songs live, but they're more melodic and mellow, electronic kind of thing. So that was an interesting project to do. Very different. If anyone wants to check it out, the EP is called Still Life.
Okay. Another thing with you guys is that you tell your audience about this often, is that you've dealt with a lot of like seizures and epilepsy in the past, Jen.
Yes.
And like that kind of, you talk about it on stage as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So even tonight, there were colorful lights that were flashing, and we had to unfortunately turn the lights off. So, yeah, it's something we still have to always think about, even though my seizures are under control now. So that was a long, long, long journey, but it's something I can't ever let go. I always have to live in a certain way all the time to protect myself. But recently I have several health issues, but my main health over the last 11 months has taken a massive upswing, which is amazing. I got on a medication that has reduced like 90% of my symptoms. So I'm doing amazingly well now. Way less pain, way more energy, feeling way better, being able to go to the gym and move my body again. I had a lot of swelling and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's been great.
And I feel like that also like encourages people who might not be sure if like they'll be okay at a show to be like, oh, okay, like this is like a safe show for me to go to as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I would highly encourage anyone who has any sort of a disability, a health issue, a need, you know, to be vocal about it. And I never spoke about it until it became problematic. And, you know, it's better to just be upfront about these things. And I think I worried that people wouldn't accept it, but you find that most people are very accommodating and very positive and want to help. So that's really important to keep in mind.
That's so good to hear. And I also want to ask about touring, because you guys have been almost all around the world now. You've done tours across Europe. You also played shows in Taiwan. All very like different audiences to play to, right? How were those shows?
Amazing. I'll pass this to someone else.
I would say one of the coolest parts was getting out of your shell and like learning what it is to be a band outside of just being in Toronto and in the city you are. So once you get to be a bit of a like unit together, and then you get to be with all these different people from different walks of life, from different countries, it was pretty incredible. Personally, I tried to have a very low expectation of what it was going to be, and I personally got blown away wherever we went outside of Canada, how welcoming and receiving everybody was to the live music that we were putting on. And they really listened and really took in the message, I would say, we had to give. I also know that Jen nearly got electrocuted in Taiwan. I remember that. And everyone was like super like, oh my God, are you okay? Is everything going to be all right? And, you know, it was just such a crazy experience playing from a festival, going to Czech Republic, playing across different places, playing in Japan. And just the level of hospitality across all the different places we went was quite amazing. We got very, very lucky. We were very blessed.
Mm-hmm. And you documented a little bit of that in some of your music videos as well. I want to ask about the music videos because it sounds like it's a very DIY process.
Yep. We just keep the cameras rolling, and we think if we're going to be out in these crazy, awesome places, we might as well get some footage and see if we can put it together in the music video, and that's what we did. So you're going to see us in Taiwan, Japan, and Europe and that, and... And it's fun. We have fun. It's fun creating. And to be honest, we were traveling on a shoestring. So we just made the best of it. We knew we had to get photo shoots and everything done when we were out there. And it was a great time. Yeah.
Oh, that's great to hear. Because like when I kind of looked through the footage of it, it looks like you've got everything from the basement punk show vibe footage to like one of your music videos that almost kind of reminds me a bit of like a Twilight scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
I would say to add to that, one of my favorite ones was watching everybody in Japan watch us walk through or / run through the subway system as three guys in suits chasing Jen in this like crazy Japanese outfit and just seeing all the crazy looks that we got the whole time. And it just was just a wild, funny experience. Also awesome that we've got a wicked bass player who's an incredible videographer, who is able to capture all of these wicked moments. But, we definitely loved seeing the looks of people, as those moments are happening.
I really think about that we did that.
Yeah, right?
that's a pretty good idea. And I would say, that would be a pretty good idea. I don't know if you're actually going to pull that off, but we did pull it off.
Running, and then we tried to make some continuity, too. Like, didn't we chase Jen across Czech Republic? And then we're like, oh, this is a great scene. Let's do it now in Japan. Let's do it again. And I'm sure people were like, is she okay? Like, is everything all right? Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. All right.
Will Jen be chased on any future tours? What's coming up for you guys next?
She's going to be chasing us to say, yo, get your asses in practice.
TBD, we're not sure quite yet. There's still a lot of stuff in flux, so we're taking it a little bit slow right now, but trying to, probably by fall, get a couple other big shows. We're trying to put maybe our own bill together somewhere September, October, but... right now, that's probably the biggest thing
maybe
on the horizon.
If there's enough interest in Kingston Town, we'll come around.
Yeah, Kingston would be great.
Yeah, and for everyone, if you're listening, if you check our videos online, or you check our streams and all that, we really appreciate downloads. We would really appreciate it and spread the word. But thanks for checking out this radio show, and it's been a pleasure chatting.
I will also add in here, you've got a Bandcamp page. People should go on there, check you out,
you're
and
right.
support you.
Bandcamp is the best way to support the artist because all the sales will go straight to us and help us put guitar strings on our guitars.
And should there be a Kingston show and should people come out and check you out?
Heck
what
yes.
can they expect to see?
If we can tell us about the place we should play in Kingston, we're going to jump around like crazy animals and put on a good rock show and whip our hair around all crazy for you.
And everybody wants to see Fred take off his shirt.
Operatic, garage rock, sparkle.
That's about it.
I'm going to stop now.
I think that sums it up pretty well. Any final words?
Thanks so much for interviewing us, and thanks for listening. And yeah, check us out, Neon Bloom.
Neon Bloom, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Queens, Golden Gale.
On the Yellow Brick Road, and I'm joined by Sam and Tilly from the Bug Club, who I'm very excited are joining us. Hello, guys.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
How's it going? I must have caught you at a really busy time because you've just wrapped up a UK tour and you're getting ready for a bit of a North American expedition again.
Yeah, yeah. We just this week back home to buy some new pants and socks. That's why we just got back in the door. But, you know, it's been good. Yeah, we just finished the UK tour and back off to Canada first and then America. So, fun.
And I don't know if this date was part of that tour because obviously you were doing headline shows, but I saw you guys with Super Furry Animals in London on that second date. And it was such an incredible show. And you guys, when I was listening to your album that came out recently as well, I heard some of the songs like Cut to Black and I heard those harmonies and I was like, this is the perfect band to open for Super Furries, you know?
Oh, cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. That's a nice compliment.
Yeah, it was a mad gig, wasn't it? It's fun place, you know?
Yeah, massive place. It was huge.
Big room.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was nice.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, they're all very friendly as well, you know? So it was a nice gig. It's cool. We'd like seen a couple of bands there before, but never played there, you know. So,
yeah,
loved it. It's cool. Nice to play the new songs as well to a big room.
Mm-hmm. And was it a bit of a full circle moment? Like, obviously, you guys are a Welsh band, and they've sort of had this massive influence on Welsh music and culture in general, eh?
Yeah. Oh, it's cool. Yeah. It's lovely to an honest play with them, you know. And
Yeah, it was just so nice of them to even have us on. So,
yeah.
yeah.
We've done a few shows with Griff before, you know, and then he's always lovely, you know. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we like his music a lot of stuff, you know. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's nice for him to have us on the show, you know. It's cool. I think they picked a bunch of good bands for the supports. You know, there's a lot of good Welsh bands supporting them, like a few of our mates and stuff are on some of the other gigs, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I think they did a really good job of also having newer bands on, like some reunion tours I could think of. But also when I'm listening to songs like that, I'm getting so many other fun influences like Sparks and all coming through on Cut to Black, for me at least. And you guys have so much fun in your music. And like when I was seeing you playing live as well, I was just like, these guys are having the best time of their lives up there. So I thought even just for that reason, you were the perfect band to open for them.
Hey, oh, that's great. Well,
Yeah, thank you.
that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I always think we're just like professional fidgets, you know, we can't really keep still, even if we tried. But yeah, that's the main thing, isn't it? You know, you want it to be fun, you want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point, you know?
Yeah,
Lot of effort
totally.
just to not have fun as well, you know. To make a band work, you know.
A lot of time and a lot of energy.
Yeah, you might as well have fun while you're
Yeah.
doing it. Otherwise, there's just easier ways to like actually get paid, you know. So.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you guys always look like you have really good chemistry on stage as well. And I read that you've been playing together since, or at least that you met when you guys were 14 years old. So it's been a while that you've been sort of
Yeah.
like throwing ideas off of each other, I suppose. How long
Yeah.
have you been playing together?
Well, yeah.
Since we met, really, like it
Yeah.
wasn't long after we met that, I mean, we met in music class, so we already were kind of playing our own instruments.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just kind of like played together, but as the Bug Club, it was about 20, wow, 2016, but then it was kind of a different outfit. This outfit of the Bug Club was like since pandemic, I
Yeah.
guess. These songs and all the releases we've had
But yeah, we've
have
been
been
playing
since the
together.
pandemic, but we've been playing together for a long, long time. We can't get rid of each other. We
Yeah.
can't. We've tried. We
Yeah.
can't.
Somehow, this is the winning formula.
Yeah,
you know,
That's
it's always been fairly similar, isn't it? Anyway, you know, but you
Yeah.
just get used to each other, you know how each other play, you know, so it
Yeah.
gets easier and easier, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know, we've been lucky with a few good drummers as well, like at the minute. You saw Gav, who's coming to Canada with us now. He was on the Super Furries and all these tours and stuff, so he's a great drummer, and he's in a bunch of bands like the Wheeler around here. He's in a cool band called Keys as well, if anyone's listening. You'd probably like Keys if you like our band.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then our mate Tom, who records everything, like he's been playing drums with us a lot as well. Like it's his studio, and he's the producer of all of our records, you know. So we're lucky with a few good people that we're just good mates with as well. It makes it easy,
Yeah.
you know, for gigging. It keeps it fun, you know.
And he's in the Bug Club. Sorry, he's in Buzzard, 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 isn't he?
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
Tom.
that's Tom.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
his. He's got a new band actually. He's just started called Painkiller. But if
I
anyone
heard.
after
Yeah.
New one. Yeah, they're great as well. We saw them a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Like
Yeah.
one of their first gigs. But yeah, they're really cool. It's
Yeah.
yeah, it's still Tom, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We're really lucky. We've kind of surrounded ourselves with really good friends that we just get along with so well, and nothing's really that hard because everybody's so nice, and we,
That's the secret, isn't it? Get good people
yeah, you
involved,
know,
you know, and then it's kind of fun, you know.
build good relationships, you know.
Yeah. And I've heard that the Buck Club was actually a real club at one point. How does one get into it?
You got to catch. There's only three people here, actually. We're not even in it. It's my older brother made it up when he was like, I don't know, six, something like that. Him and his two mates just catch bugs. But you have to catch all three of them to be in the club. But I don't think anyone's ever caught all three of them. And now they don't live anywhere near each other and they're not in school every day together. So,
Well, yeah, like one of them's a police officer,
yeah.
one of them is a mountaineer, and the other one's just really good at running. So I don't think we'll
Yeah.
ever be in the club because
Yeah.
we'll never catch them. But there we go.
But we stole the name. So,
Yeah. So that's
no.
a very exclusive club. But the book club that's easier to get into is you guys because the music is so catchy, you're so fun on stage, and you've just put out a new album that I've been listening to on repeat pretty much. every
Cool.
single muscle. Now, this is like your seventh album in what, 5 or 6 years?
I think so, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, I
There's a
mean,
few in-betweeny things that aren't full records and stuff as well, I
yeah.
guess. But yeah, you've got to keep busy, you know? There's no point in doing it
We
otherwise.
can't keep still. I told you, we can't keep still.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, we're really proud of it. I think it's the newest one's always our favorite, you know? But yeah, it's fun to do live as well, luckily, because you never really know until you go out.
I mean,
But
we made the album ages ago. Well, it feels like ages ago.
it wasn't that long ago. You said.
Well, I mean, enough time for us to forget how to play it.
Yeah.
So then I had to relearn how to play it for these live shows. But luckily, I think we've managed it.
Yeah, they're in there somewhere. But yeah, it's been fun. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's pretty rocking for a one.
Yeah, it's the best one we've made, but I mean, you've got to say that, haven't you? You know, at every release, because otherwise, that's scary if you don't think
Yeah,
that.
I like how gross we've managed to make the art. My twin brother Ross did all the artwork for it, and
Okay.
we gave him the brief of trying to make it quite horrible
We
looking.
said make it gross, make it disgusting.
Yeah, and he
I
nailed
think he has,
it. But yeah.
It's very eye-catching artwork.
Yeah. No, he did a great job. Yeah, he's cool. He's
Yeah.
yeah.
And I feel like